7 through 13. Janet, you feel like reading that?
Read forward, yeah.
20, Jeremiah 20, 7 through 13.
7 through 13, okay. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I have a derision daily, every one moment me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and scorn, because the word of the Lord was made reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. That's quite an interesting group.
That's going to be part of it. That's right there. This shows the attitude of Jeremiah. Here I am in the midst of this, and here's the rulers, here's the priest. And he said, I'm a laughingstock. I set forth the word, and no one received it, and I'm a laughingstock. I'm held in derision all day. If I make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, then there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with forbearing and cannot contain. So what's he going to do? He's going to speak the word of the Lord. Okay. Sometimes you get to that, I'm just not going to say anything. Okay. I mean, that's kind of the deal. I'm held in derision. I'm a laughing stock. I'm not going to say anything. And then Jeremiah says that it just wells up in me that this has to be done. He had a concern for his nation. And we ought to have concern for the church. We ought to have concern for where we are. Even to that point, do not allow, because opposition is going to come. You're going to get opposition. Oftentimes, you get opposition in the body of Christ. You get opposition. And it has to be dealt with when that opposition arises, then take your lumps. Whatever it is, take your lumps. Because oftentimes, it will turn pretty sour in reference to it. Anyway, so we find that that was what Jeremiah was dealing with. I thought it was Pasher, it may not have been him, maybe another one, that he was taken back to Babylon and roasted. They roasted him in the fire. It was his destruction. All right? So that was Pasher. He dealt with that false prophet. All right? Jeremiah 23, verse 21, we find that the statements of the Lord was what he had done. I sent not these prophets, yet they ran. I spake not unto them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then had they caused my people to hear my words, and had turned them from their evil way, and from their evil of their doings. And so that's what Jeremiah was dealing with within his life. I want to look in reference to this of Ahab and Zedekiah. What's the first thing that comes to mind? Evil kings. These are prophets. See, so we deal with different individuals. Different, they have the same name, but they're different prophets. And 29, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 21. He had identified the matter of thus saith Jehovah of hosts, God of Israel, concerning Ahab, the son of Peliah, and concerning Zedekiah, the son of Maaseiah. Who prophesieth a lie unto you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. And of them shall be taken up a curse by way of all the captives of Judah that are in Babylon, saying, Jehovah make thee like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. He took them to Babylon, put them to death, roasted them in the fire. That was a curse. Let me be like Ahab and Zedekiah. Because they have wrought folly in Israel, and have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives, and have spoken words in my name falsely, which I commanded them not. And I am he that knoweth, and am witness, saith Jehovah. He knows of what's going on, and that's what happened with them. All right. I want to look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah identified the children of Israel that had come back out of the Babylonian captivity. Zerubbabel was involved in building until you had the Samaritans, basically, if I understand where they fit in this process, that stood in their way. Now, they served God or their portion of it. The Samaritans recognized the Pentateuch, the Book of Moses, but they didn't recognize the prophets. They had set up, and it had been stated here in Ezra, there was one of Manasseh was his name, not King Manasseh, that had been given a spot as a priest. Well, he couldn't do that in Jerusalem, so they set up one in Mount Gerizim. You recall that when the Lord spoke with the woman at the well, you know, that you worship in Jerusalem, we worship at Mount Gerizim. That's where all of that started, all right, was in that particular scenario. All right, so we find that here in Nehemiah chapter 6, that they have, Nehemiah has come to Judah in order to build and to get the walls put up and get everything going. And so here's his, Sanballat and Tobiah and Gershom, the Arabian, they're the ones that are the enemies of what Nehemiah's doing. See, they wouldn't let them have any part in this building of what's going on. You have to do the part of the law. It upset them. Right? And so here's what they did. Here's how they behaved themselves. When I built the wall, when they found out, Sanballat, Tobiah, matter of fact, I believe it was Tobiah that was given a room in the temple, which was a violation of the law. And so you have the chief priests that are even involved in this kind of destruction. And so here's an additional effort that they're making in order to try to stop the building, to stop the work that people are involved in. He said, we built the wall, and that was there was no breach left therein, although they had not set up the doors and the gates. That said, Sanballat and Gershom sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in one of the villages of the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should I to the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Why should I do that? Right. Now, this attempt that they're making, they're setting him up. And that's the problem. You deal with evil men. Evil men will do evil things in order to get their mission, if you will, accomplished. They're wanting to stop this work, and this is what they're going to do in reference to that. And they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat, his servant, unto me in like manner, the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. Sanballat sending this letter. You talk about using treachery, trying to put fear in Nehemiah, but they'd already done this once before when they sent a letter to the Persian king. Okay. Now here's what they're doing, and they stopped the work as a result of that. So here's what this letter had to say when they sent that letter. Wherein was written, verse 6 through 9. Sure.
Then Sanballat sent his servants to me as before, the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. And it was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says, that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, and let us consult together. Then I sent to him, saying, no such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying, their hands will be weakened, and the work in it will not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands.
All right, so here's the deal. We're going to threaten them. All it is a threat. Now, they could send the letter. You know, that had happened before. And actually, they told the king, said, well, you just look in the archive. You look in the history of Israel. They're a rebellious people. You know, they are by nature. They're a rebellious people. And so that's what you're going to have to deal with. So he stops the work. And now here again, Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, that they are going to do the same thing, that they're going to send this letter. And they're all upset because Nehemiah won't have anything to do with it. And so we find that in verse 10, and I went unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. So hide out. Save your life. Come with me. Save your life. But Nehemiah said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being such as I, would go into the temple to save his life? He'd be in the violation of the word of God to even do that. And he said, I'm not going to do that. I will not go in. And I discerned that, lo, God had not sent him. But he pronounced this prophecy against me, and Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. And so these are the things that Nehemiah had to deal with, just like Jeremiah did within his 40 years that he dealt with Judah. For this cause he hired them, that I should be afraid to do so and sin, that they might have matter of an evil report, that they might reproach me. Remember, O my God, Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these their works, and also the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. He didn't succumb to it. The wall's finished. He's able to accomplish what the Lord had sent him to do. Ultimately, we find that Nehemiah, he had been given a certain period of time by the king of Persia to go back to Judah, because he had heard of the report of how the walls were down, and he had been given a certain period of time, and then he had to go back to Persia. And there were things that he had taken care of that when he comes back later, they're right back to where they started. And it just frustrates him, because that was a matter, and we can look at some of the frustrations of the prophet. But one of the things that they had done, Nehemiah had identified, because the rulers that were there, they had taken and they had really oppressed the people. They had their own people. I believe Nehemiah said, we buy it. You're putting them in bondage. You know, let them go and do that. And they had also taken wives of the nations that were round about them. And so we find that that's the type of situation that Nehemiah was dealing with. So we have these false prophets that are there. When we look at the faith of the prophets given to the Lord all the days of his life, Samuel, what he was, he didn't have a choice. There wasn't a matter of, what do you want to be when you grow up? He's going to be a servant of the Lord. And we know that his mother, who was, because of the needling, if you will, of her counterpart, in reference to that she had prayed unto the Lord, Eli, when he saw her praying, that he had accused her of being drunken, in verse 14 of chapter 1. Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my soul before Jehovah. Count not thy handmaid for a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and my provocation have I spoken here too. And Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thy petition that thou hast asked of him. You know, so Eli is serving as a priest in this part. And that was granted, and that she had agreed to bring Samuel to Eli. And I wonder how Eli thought about it. He's yours now. And so he grew up his whole life was in that training in regards to his work. And he did all the days of his life. He was given to the Lord, and he was faithful in that. And that's one of the matters of which really struck him hard when the people wanted a king like the other nations. You know, I've done nothing to you. I'm not taking anything that wasn't rightly his to have, but it was a matter that he had not extorted from them anything. You know? And the Lord said, give them what they want. They've not rejected you, but they rejected me from being king. And so all that period of time, the only king they had was that of the Lord. And so he kept his faith all the days of his life. Elijah said he was very jealous for Jehovah. 1 Kings 19:14, you know, when you deal with his attitude, Elijah, he didn't put up with a whole lot in reference to that. But he had identified, even after this period of time, when he had gone to Horeb, he had defeated the prophets of Baal. He had gone to Horeb because Jezebel said that she was going to kill him. In verse 19:1, and Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. Who did I say? Sent a letter to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And so he fled, and he went to Horeb. And while he was in Horeb, the Lord appeared to him in the wind, the earthquake, the fire, and then the still small voice, and basically told him, go to work. And so that's what he did. And so he said in verse 14 that I have been, here's his view. I have been very jealous for Jehovah, God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. I mean, he felt he was it. None to support him. None there. Ultimately, the Lord told him that he had 7,000 in that had not bowed the knee to Baal or to Baal. So now, what you do is you go. You will anoint Hazael king over Syria, Jehu king over Israel, and Elisha in your place. And so he was very jealous for Jehovah. Are you jealous for Jehovah? Are you jealous for the obedience to the will of God? Does it mean anything, or is it just that, well, you know, we make choices. We have our choices. God has given us the right to make those choices. But how do we approach this matter of rebellion against the laws of God? Are we jealous for Jehovah? Not in the bad sense, but the fact that we belong to the Lord. You know, here's one you belong to, and you refuse those laws, and especially when it deals with brethren. Because they arrived. They had trouble. Paul had trouble. That was the question of his apostleship. He had his trouble. And so we need to make sure that the faith that these individuals set forth. Elisha, in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, when Elisha, who had been anointed, and Elijah came to him, Elijah's going to be taken up, that the Lord will receive him. And in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, this was the attitude that Elisha had. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And that's asking something, that which will glorify God. That's what he wants. Let it be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken and from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. God will make that determination. He'll make it. And so when Elisha was taken up, that the mantle that Elisha wore, it departed, and Elijah wore. Now Elisha had it. It's interesting to note that the prophets eventually, if they would wear a mantle, hairy garment, that would give him the appearance of a prophet. You know, kind of like most today wear that backward collar. It gives them the appearance of reverence. That kind of thing. Well, they got to a point they wouldn't wear it. It got so serious that even the false prophets wouldn't wear it. We find that in reference to what Elisha had done, trying to think of what we have here, we'll go back to Jeremiah, Mormon accounts again. What happened when, it is interesting to note that when Elijah had been taken up, that these other prophets that were around in verse 15, when the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho over against him saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they came and met him. They came and met him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said, "Behold now, there are with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest the spirit of Jehovah has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain." You know, spirit of the Lord took him up and now he threw him on some mountain. Let's go after him. You know, we'll see if we can find him. And he said, "Ye shall not sin." You're not going to do it. Don't do it. They persisted in that. He finally said, "Ye shall not." And then, and when they argued or urged him till he was ashamed, he said, "Sin." They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And they came back to him while he was tarried at Jericho, and he said unto them, "Did I not say unto you, go not?" Hey, I told you not to go. You talk about frustrations, and that's the way that he did with that. Jeremiah had persisted through all of the sufferings that he had to encounter, and we also find that Habakkuk, that he was wondering, what's going to happen? How long are you going to wait? Well, what's going to happen? And the Lord finally told him what was going to happen, and what Habakkuk understood was the righteous shall live by faith. We find that in the Galatian letter, also the Roman letter, of where that particular phrase is used. The righteous shall live by faith. All Habakkuk could do after he got that information was watch. All he could do is watch. You've been in that condition where you watch it and there's absolutely nothing you can do. We have that with a loved one, with whatever the case is. Nothing you can do. All you can do, you know what's going to happen, you know where it's going, and there's absolutely nothing you can do. And the emptiness of that thing. And that's all Habakkuk could do within his life. So we deal with the faith that he was involved in that area. Lord willing, tomorrow, we'll look at what I'm going to look at tomorrow deals, because, we'll look at Isaiah. Isaiah was a very fascinating man. And when you go to about fear, you look up fear, you look up all the words that are, afraid, all of them that will indicate a weakness in their fortitude, nothing on Isaiah. That man was strong as could be. Appreciate your attention. We're going to stop there this morning. Any questions, comments? I appreciate your attention and your patience. So, do you have the heart of a prophet?